Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, at 11 o'clock tonight, midnight in Brussels, the UK's Brexit transition period formally ends. From that point on, citizens, goods and services moving between the UK and Ireland or any other EU country will face increased checks and regulations, although exemptions have been made within the island of Ireland. With just hours to go, Spain and the UK today agreed in principle that Gibraltar would effectively remain in the EU's Schengen area, though many questions remain about how this will work in practice. Well, to unpick it all, I'm joined now by the writer, broadcaster and former head of communications to British Prime Minister Tony Blair, Alistair Campbell. And thank you very much for joining us this evening, Alistair. So Brexit becomes a reality. Finally, it's getting done tonight. How will you mark that moment at 11 p.m?
I'll be fast asleep, hopefully, because I think it's one of the worst things that's ever happened to the country in my life. I watched the entirety of the debate in the House of Commons. I've read the entirety of the document, and you know, I know people, they're entitled to have a completely different view, but I think there are some moments in history where countries choose their own decline, and I'm afraid I think we've done one of them.
I was about to ask you for your reflections on the whole process, but perhaps you've just given them to me. I don't know, looking back on the last 4 years, you know, the argument has been going now since 2016, even though the referendum result was in. Why do you think it has gone the way it has gone?
Well, look, it's been an absolute kind of roller coaster in lots of different directions. But I think that, you know, if you track back to before the referendum, I think this story has always been about the internal workings of the politics of the Conservative Party. I don't think it's ever been about the interests of the country, and that's why, you know, I will never stop being angry about this. I really think it's been about the Tories. David Cameron called the referendum to deal with, a short-term problem in his party and the rise of UKIP at the time. I think that the way that the campaign was run, I think that Boris Johnson and Michael Gove got away with absolute murder in terms of the lies that they told. And David Cameron decided, because he felt that they're going to have to come back together after the referendum, and he thought he was going to win. He didn't really kind of deal with that at the time. Then I think what's happened since then is that, you know, and you have to hand it to the both sides that they've got this agreement, but it bears absolutely no relation to what's been promised at any stage of the process. And I think it's just been all about, you saw that in the debate in our parliament, you know, these right-wing Brexit extremist MPs have been banging this Eurosceptic drum for decades. And okay, they've won, but I mean, you know, I think it bears such little relation to what most people in the country either thought this Brexit was going to be, or the ones who never wanted it in the first place just cannot see how they're, you know, what they're losing far outweighs anything that these Brexit people think they're gaining by way of sovereignty.
And what do you make then, Alistair, of the Labour Party's, the British Labour Party's role in all of that? Is, as you say, you think that the Tories misled the people and what Brexit would mean. What about the Labour Party's responsibility, therefore, to show the people the light and maybe their inability to do that?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I do think it's, you know, not, listen, it was a massive campaign. There was more than 30 million people voted, more than 70 million people voted to leave. But I do think, so there's lots and lots of reasons in that, but I do think that if Jeremy Corbyn, when he'd been leader of the Labour Party, had put a bit more elbow grease into actually, you know, trying to get Labour voters to back the Remain campaign. I do think in recent weeks that I really don't understand why Labour's voted for it. I understand the logic of saying, you know, we've got to kind of move on. But move on to what? Because the truth is this, you know, it's not just the calling out of the lies. It's where do we go now? You know, you mentioned about services. Services are not covered in this agreement. That's 80% of our economy. There are questions unresolved about Ireland and the relationship between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. You've just mentioned the thing today about Gibraltar. That's just kind of suddenly comes out of the blue. And as you said in the news, it's not clear how that's going to pan out. There's so much negotiation that now has to go on. And I worry that the Labour Party has put itself in a position where when this goes wrong, which I believe it will, I hope I'm wrong, but I think this is going to be a disaster for the country, and when the Labour Party try to kind of stand up, if they do, against the stuff that's happening, Boris Johnson is just going to stand there and say, well, hold on a minute, you voted for it. So I'm one of those. I don't think I'm alone in this, but I know I'm not, because I can get bombarded by messages from like-minded people. I think there's a sense of feeling just a little bit kind of, you know, what the hell has gone wrong with our politics, not just what the hell has gone wrong with the government, which, you know, at least Johnson, you kind of know he's a liar, you know he's a charlatan, you know that he kind of, you know, he's prepared to do anything to become prime minister and doesn't much care about the impact of what he does. He's like Trump in that regard. But, you know, it's a very, very depressing place to be right now.
And maybe it appears you don't have the answer of where to now, but do you accept at least that a second referendum is absolutely off the table?
Absolutely. Well, what we were campaigning for in the People's Vote campaign was a referendum on the outcome of the negotiations. Now, I don't think that's at all undemocratic. I think that would have been the right way. The government, the Leave campaign won the referendum. They negotiate a deal, and then that deal's put to the people. I think that would have been the right way to go about it. Now, I accept that we've lost that. That's gone. I think that, you know, the appetite within the, you know, and bear in mind, you know, these are the same people, the very same people who are in charge of this whole Brexit process, are the same people. It was fascinating to listen to that clip before I came on about your COVID and your, you know, the worries you've got about having more than 1,000 people in hospital. We've had almost 1,000 people die today. So the country is kind of thinking, you know, they're more worried about COVID and they think, let's just not hear about Brexit again. But once we're through this pandemic and into the recession that's going to come on the back of it, then Brexit is going to make things worse. And the consequences of Brexit are going to be with us for a long, long time.
And just finally on that, Alistair, I was going to ask you about COVID, because I think, unfortunately, the UK hit a new record on the number of cases as well, in around 55,000 new cases today. What has gone so wrong, do you think, and how can it be pulled back?
Well, I guess the vaccine is in the end going to be the way out of this for everybody. But, you know, what's gone wrong? I'm afraid the common thread is this populist prime minister and this populist government. From the beginning, I remember talking to, you know, some of your colleagues about this right at the start. If you go right back, do you remember when Boris Johnson basically said, if there's one country that's going to stand up to this thing without shutting the country down, let it be us. Of course, it's okay to go to Cheltenham. Of course, it's okay to have Spanish football fans coming from a COVID hotspot to Liverpool to a football match. We're going to get rid of it in 12 weeks. We're going to squash the sombrero. He's a liar and he's a populist. And he just, you know, he says what he wants to believe as opposed to what's actually true. And added to which, you know, it's not kind of difficult to work out why our health service has so struggled, because we've had a decade of austerity. So, you know, I don't blame the government. I don't blame our government for the arrival of the pandemic, but I absolutely do blame them for the fact that we seem to be hit so much harder than other comparable countries and economies. And it's because we have a government that is useless, a prime minister who's, you know, utterly venal. you can see.
Well, I don't have anyone to push back on that, but I'm sure if I did have someone from the Conservatives, they would disagree with that point of view. But
I'm
nonetheless,
sure they would.
I do
I'm
take
sure
your
they
point.
Would.
Thank you very much for joining us.
I'll tell you what, it's worse than that. They actually don't give a damn what anybody else thinks.
All right. Alistair Campbell, thank you very much for joining us this evening.